Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight we have a very, very special exclusive interview with Diane Latiker and her daughter Aisha will be coming on this evening, and we're going to be touching a little bit on all type of stuff that is going on in this world today with our youth. We hope that you guys will stay tuned in with us, and we're going to be bringing Ms. Latiker in just a few moments. Just hang on tight.
Here, where I grew up, it's rough. Right here, south side of Chicago, the youth fear for their life when they should just be kids enjoying playing outside.
I think the kids need more adults who believe in them. I started Kids Off the Block because of my daughter, Aisha. I wanted to keep tabs on her. The community was changing again, and I was worried. Aisha and her friends were running up and down the block, and I said, well, what if I invited you into my house? I started helping them with homework. Next thing I know, two or three other kids came to my house. Then there were 30, 40. So I knew it was needed.
At that age, I was jealous, and I had to step back. Yes, this is my mom, this is my home, but these kids don't have that.
People were telling me, what are you doing? These kids are throwaways. And the more they told me that, the more my heart just, no, you're wrong. I'm gonna prove you wrong.
Literally, she takes the kids off the block to a place where they can imagine their block as being someplace different.
Sometimes they come because they need a tutor. Sometimes they come because they want to do music. Sometimes they come because they want to sit and just talk.
KOB to me means inspiration. It means the future.
I came here, it pretty much saved me. KOB is a place where you can be great.
Kids Off the Block and Chicago Police Department created a partnership.
It's an awesome program. The kids get an opportunity to teach the officers about things that they feel, and it just builds a relationship.
We do conflict resolution, peace circles that can revert them from thinking about a gun.
We can measure how many people were killed or injured or arrested in any given period of time, but we don't know how many people were not because of Diane Latiker.
Is she like a superhero to me?
Her worth is unmeasurable.
I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional, but for me personally, she's hope.
We've had around 3,000 kids come through these doors. When you look into their eyes and they were once dead, and then you look again and there's a little shiny thing going on, I know that what I'm doing is making a difference.
All right, everybody, just like we promised you, we have Ms. Diane Latiker on the line. How are you, Ms. Latiker, this evening?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am absolutely fantastic. It is such a blessing to be able to hear your voice and to have you on our show this evening. I know that, man, I don't even know where to begin. You're a busy lady. I know that, you know, you founded Kids Off the Block. And I, you know, I'm hearing your stories, you know, from video to video and reading bios and everything that I could find on you. But can you kind of just tell the audience in your own words what experiences that you have that motivated you to want to bring Kids Off the Block alive?
Well, actually, I didn't have any experience. I mean, you know, my husband and I had 9 kids of our own, you know, but they were grown. Aisha was the last one at home. She was 13. And I just wanted to keep up with her till she graduated high school and went to college. And she had 9 friends, 13 to 15 years old. And I would take them a lot of places. And my mom saw it and said I should do something with them. And that's how it really started. I went outside with Aisha and her friends on the front and just asked them, you know, would they come into my living room? And I sat and listened to them and found out that the gangs were trying to recruit the boys and they all were failing in school. And so I just wanted to help. I sold the TV and got some used computers and printers and started helping them with their homework. And I listened to them.
that is such a beautiful thing, you know, to know that you did that. And I want you to know we do have something in common. My only daughter, his name is Aisha as well. So that was quite a coincidence.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Aisha's on the line, too.
Hi, Aisha. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Just a little history on Aisha. Actually, I named my daughter Aisha after Stevie Wonder's daughter, Aisha, which the name means light. So if you didn't know.
Yeah, I do. I'm actually familiar with it. Does she also spell her name A-I-S-H-A?
Yes. That's exactly
okay,
how it's spelled. So... Aisha, I want to know, how did that affect you, seeing your mother being so involved with all these other children? And I mean, did you feel like they're taking away my mom? You know, how did that affect you as a youngster?
Oh, yes, indeed. I did. That you described me perfectly, as if you were there when I was going through my transition. It took me a while to, you know, just basically grasp the fact that my mom was a helping hand to the community. Being on the inside and looking now, you know, all you see is your mom. You see, you know, a woman raising her kids, teaching me from what's right from wrong, stuff like that. But it became more than just that. It became more than just her, you know, having kids over for pizza or taking us to the skating rink or here and there, stuff like that. She became a pillar of the community. She became a mother of the community. And it took me a long time I'll give about 3 years, to just understand, you know, that they needed her more than I did. I had a two-parent home. I had a ride back and forth to school. You know, I was well protected and well taken care of. And, you know, even though I had friends, I wasn't aware of, you know, the different obstacles that they face just trying to get to school, or, you know, when they do come home from school, how they are basically parents now because their parents are working or might be incarcerated or what have you. Whatever the case was, I didn't know. You know, I thought everybody had their mother and their father at home. I thought everybody had someone to, you know, to just be a parent, basically. I guess when I kind of had, you know, that just that rude awakening, it was like, yeah, okay, you have to stop being selfish. And that was about when I was about 16 years old. My mom started it when I was 13, so I believe I came full force and joined with the movement and everything that she was doing when I was about 16 years old.
Wow. I just want to take my hat off and salute you, Miss Diane, because 16 years of community service, you raised the community hood. You just didn't raise your own children, but giving 16 years of your life and time to this, dedicating your life, you raised the neighborhood, the community, basically, and that man, that I'm speechless, you know. The role model, you know, I hear a lot of youth come to me today and they express themselves that they don't have those role models in their neighborhood. When there's a problem and their mom is gone, you know, on drugs and on crack or, you know, selling herself on the streets or whatever they might be going through, or just a broken home, there is no role models, you know, and that is something that is, I mean, I wish I could hear, you know, every day coming from somebody, because it is much needed. And so you're so appreciated for that. Now, out of all what you have done with your community efforts and, you know, teaching and raising and raising and teaching, is there anything that you would, being with the knowledge that you have now, that you would have done differently?
Well, let me first say that I'm very proud of my daughter. When she did step up, she, Aisha, came through. She's like my right hand. She has the young people up under her wing. When she calls, they listen, they come. And I'm so proud of her. She's a motivational speaker, and she just, you know, she handles her business as far as Kids Off the Block is concerned. And I'm very proud of her.
I appreciate that, Ma.
You're welcome. Actually, she has a manuscript that's being shot. She has a book coming out called Through My Eyes to tell her story.
Yes, wow. Indeed.
Yes.
You're going to have to send me an autographed copy of that one. I would definitely love to have it. Because
I would love to do that. It's
just so needed, and especially positive, you know, women that look like you and me, you know, trying to, you know, do the right thing. I mean, and actually being recognized for what you're trying to do. That is just like, I mean, everything. It means everything, you know. So back to that question, what would you have done differently?
Nothing. Because, and the reason Nothing. I say that is because of my faith.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe it's God's plan. It's not mine. And so I don't think mm-hmm. he would have done anything differently. Because if he wanted me to do something differently, believe me, he would have made it so. So I just believe that all the faults, all the bad, the negative, the good, I believe it was all in his plan. I believe it's 17 years, by the way. I believe he did all that to create what he has for us today. And the young people that we touched mm-hmm. 17 years ago, 15 years ago, 12 years ago, they're all, you know, coming back and they're giving back, and it's a phenomenal thing. And then we have the young kids coming up now who have watched Kids Off the Block, and now they want to be involved. And so it's a beautiful thing, but it's definitely through God. And I don't think I would have did anything different, because if I would have knew all the things I was going to go through, I probably wouldn't have done it.
Right. And so for you, Aisha, would you have liked to seen, given all that you know about Kids on the Block, was there anything that you would have liked to see different that in the way things was handled?
Oh, definitely not. I should have been on board a long time ago when she first decided to, you know, make it official and everything like that, because I am her right hand. You know, Kids Off the Block been going strong because my mom has a support system. She has a safety net. It's along with her, it's myself, her mother, my grandmother, my father, her husband, and our two, they're actually my two aunties, but her two sisters, one sister-in-law and one is her actual blood sister. And they've been there from jump. I've been a part of it from jump, but I should have been more involved and willing. So that would be my change that I would accommodate it to. I wouldn't have wanted to be on the outside looking in, you know, as long as I was. I should have stepped up a long time ago. Even though I'm 13 years old, I still had a role to play. So that would be the thing that I would change.
Right. And let me ask, this is to both of you. What was your most inspired moment?
Go ahead, Ma. You can go first.
I have had many of them. I have literally saw young people who came from places that you wouldn't even think that they would have the mindset to change and do things. And I saw them do that. I saw them believe that they could and hope for better. And I saw them go to college, the first person out of their families. And I saw them give back and help others. And even though they wasn't taught that, they didn't even have any knowledge of it. And I saw them be hopeless when they came to Kids Off the Block, and I saw them leave with hope and share it with others. It's a phenomenal thing. So I can't pinpoint one thing, because there have been so many moments in that 17 years that, and it's still going on too. Young people still inspire me, the things that they are doing today.
Okay, Aisha.
My moment of hope would be, I know you remember, Mom. So my mom started an initiative called Fierce Over 40 for women who just want to get out of their communities, don't necessarily know what they want to do or how to contribute or how to be a part of something, but want to, you know, be a part of a good cause. She started an initiative called Fierce Over 40 where women come together and we plan events directed towards the violence that's not only here in Chicago but throughout the world, basically. And we were coming down the escalator, Ma. Do you remember?
Yes.
At the Black Women's Expo.
That's where we launched.
And we had just launched, Fierce Over 40. And my mom was going to be one of the guest speakers there at the expo. And just to see how many women showed up and wanted to just be in support. Like, it was, I believe it was over what, 50 women to 75 women, Ma?
No, it was 300.
No, I'm talking about that was just for the seminar that we did.
Oh, yeah, for the seminar, yeah, it was about 75 or more.
Then for them to show up there, like, even after the expo was over, to want to come and hear what my mother had to say, it was just, I don't know, she handled herself very well. That was the first time for her to launch something and for it to turn out so just drastic, Mom. Like you said, 300 women showed up just to walk with us to the stage and be a part of us and to watch you speak. Not only that, they showed up afterwards and wanted to hear what you had to say and registered. Mm-hmm. And it was just, yeah, that was my inspirational moment. I don't think I ever told you that, but that was one of my moments.
Oh.
Well, yeah. It sounds like it. That sounds very, very inspirational. You know, I mean, they have people to respect you and to, uphold you, you know, and especially because there's so much of it. I mean, and I'm dealing with that right now, trying to explain to a lot of the youth right now, what are you going to do with your life? How, you know, hanging out on the block is just not going to get you where you're trying to go. It really isn't. Yes, it's going to take you somewhere you didn't think you were going to go, but it's not going to take you where you want to go, you know. And it's a really sad thing that, you know, so many youngsters, like I've lost three brothers younger than me, I mean way younger than me, to the streets, you know. One of them was actually murdered. Yeah, one of them was actually murdered. Somebody was trying to initiate themselves as a gang member and shot my brother when he was going to the store. And, they actually sentenced the gentleman that shot my brother on my brother, whom is deceased, on his birthday to what it was, four life sentences. And at the time that happened, I was felt with so much pain from losing my brother, but I was even filled with more pain to see a 17-year-old that was tried as an adult that now is going to prison for the rest of his life. He ain't, you know, he didn't even see a 21st birthday for making a, you know, crazy, dumb decision, you know. And I was mad at what happened with my brother, but at the same time, I was like, here's another life gone. You know what I mean? Another young brother gone. And there's nothing that you can really do about that. So I started, you know, protesting and, you know, speaking, you know, at the state capitol and all type of stuff. I start getting myself involved with. So I do understand the movement. And the pain that a lot of these mothers feel, but I don't really, you know, I guess I don't really blame it. I blame, you know, the system for a lot of this, because a lot of these fathers are being taken out the home and sent to prison for years and years and years. These women are having to bring these kids up on their own, and it's really, really rough you know, to be able to do that. And so anyone that have made it through that, I just salute them for it, because it's not easy. You know, my mom even raised 11 children as a single mother, so I understand it. So you're, Aisha,
well,
are you?
Fierce Over 40. Aisha actually, when I created Fierce Over 40, Aisha created Fierce Under 40, because the young women also wanted to be involved. So she's the president of that. We recently released a video. I believe Jeff sent it to you. We're actually protesting. Yeah, black dress protests. We're actually protesting the violence that's killing our communities, from domestic violence to community violence to police violence. It's killing our community.
Right.
And so we wanted to, as women, we wanted to speak out and say we've had enough.
Right.
Stop killing our children,
right,
our women, and our men. Stop it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. It's so much of that. And, I mean, it's just terrible. I mean, so
yeah.
Aisha, do you have other siblings that are also following your footsteps and your mother's footsteps?
No, not really with the youth organization. They really have their families and their own lives going on. They come in support, you know, when it's time to, of course. But as far as following, you know, starting an organization or anything like that, no. My siblings pretty much are kind of like me. Even though I'm right under my mom because she started because of me, whenever she calls or needs us, we all come. We're right there.
Well, we've talked about our most inspired moments. Let's talk about when, you know, what has hit the heart and home, that, you know, what situation has arrived that really hit hard and hit home in the streets with the youngsters that you know.
Can you elaborate on what you mean by hit hard in the streets, like as far as what, the violence,
like,
or the pandemic?
Whatever, any type of tragic incident that could have occurred with people that you are helped trying to educate to go to through another direction, those type of incidents.
Well, the one that we had, because nothing's been fatal around us, God keeps us protected all the time. But a young man decided to leave Kids Off the Block. What was that, back in 2000? What? 2010. I was going to say 09. But in 2010, a young man by the name of David Rogers decided to, you know, that Kids Off the Block wasn't for him. He, you know, wanted to live a different lifestyle, basically the guns, the drugs, stuff like that. It was a, you know, family thing. It wasn't nothing new to him. We've been in Red's life for a while. His passion was basketball. You know, we've done the whole, you know, just trying to get him to live a different lifestyle and not be a part of it. But, you know, once he's a grown man, 20 years old, 21 years old, he can make his own call. And he decided to not, you know, be a part of Kids Off the Block anymore. And Halloween, we were coming back from an event down at the Mayor Daly Center, carving pumpkins for young people who have lost their lives to gun violence. And we're coming back. We're coming down Michigan Avenue, which is a popular street here in Chicago. And we see, you know, a group of people standing outside. They're crying. They're hysterical. We see a young man. Body's covered, but his dreads is hanging outside of the sheet. Right then and there, we knew, you know, who it was. And it was the most devastating moment that we have ever had when it comes to Kids Off the Block. That is the only incident. Well, not even an incident, because nothing nothing has happened at Kids Off the Block. This happened down the street away from Kids Off the Block, but it's just like one of our own. That was the most devastating just event in my life that I've ever been a part of. Like, just to, I don't know, still have those thoughts in the back of my head. They are still traumatizing. So that for me, I would say, was the hardest thing. Even though it didn't necessarily happen at Kids Off the Block, it just, you know, to know that it was him and how, you know, yeah.
Right, and I certainly understand that. When I lost my brother in Sacramento, California, he was shot so many times, it took out his stomach. It took out everything. And I don't want to be real graphic, but for those that are listening in. But I took photos of everything. I mean, I didn't leave out nothing. And so when I've always had recording studios and, you know, edutainment centers for youth to stop the violence, gang violence, all this, these different type of facilities. And so I use those photos of my brother to talk to gang members to show them what happened to my brother as a result of someone trying to be initiated into a gang. And let me tell you, when they saw those pictures, that was something that turned them around and came back with the dreads cut off and came back with a suit and a tie on, you know? So, I mean, it's a cruel tool, but it was very effective. And so, I mean, sometimes, you know, you could try as much as you possibly can, like the gentleman that you're just speaking about, and it just don't work. You know what I mean? And so sometimes you have to go through some extreme measures to, you know, let people know, hey, this is the real world. This is not, you know, the stuff you see on TV. So is there anything that you would like to share, Diane or Aisha, with our audience this evening that you would like the world just to know about you?
Yes. One thing I'd like to share is that Bill Duke and Jeff Joy are producing a TV series about me called The Power of One. That's one thing. The next thing is we have a center that was donated to us so that we can get out of my house. And we're trying to rehab it. So we wish that people would, nothing is too small. We wish they would go to kidsofftheblock.us and donate to help us get that center up and running. It's going to be a technology entrepreneurship center. And it's going to be the young people who have no skills, because most of them that we serve, they don't have any lifetime skills, career skills. And so those are the two things that I really wanted to miss. Also, I'm celebrating because my book was released on September 1st, and I'm excited. I'm excited about it.
That is awesome. That is super awesome. And just piggybacking off of what you just mentioned, yeah, Jeff and I just had a recent conference with one of my business associates in reference to that apprenticeships and stuff like that. So we're in hope that that will come through for you guys real soon. So it looks like it's going into a positive direction so far. So, and what about you, Aisha? Is there something you would like to share with the audience that just about you?
Nothing about me personally, other than we all are working on our 14th annual 15th Thanksgiving Day dinner event.
Yes.
We're going to feed the community a traditional Thanksgiving Day dinner on November 21st, 2020. So if you know some people, anybody out there who will be in Chicago, need somewhere to come eat a traditional meal for free, we will definitely be out there from 1 to 5 p.m. And we hope to see you guys there.
It's a pull up and go. So we're practicing social distance. We will have masks and sanitizer on hand, but it's a pull up and go, so everybody can stay safe.
Yeah.
And for those that are listening, can you please give them your website information?
www.kidsofftheblock.us.
All right. And so for donations, that's where they would go. And
yes.
What type of donations do you guys accept?
We accept all donations. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too out of hand. We accept clothes. We accept furniture for our families. We accept PPE. We accept everything. We accept food.
Okay.
We've been giving out 800 meals a week.
That's a wonderful thing. So you guys heard it right here on Faces at Success Radio. We do have to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
There's a force in the city of Chicago. She moves through her beloved Roseland neighborhood in search of young people who've gone down the wrong path. When she finds them, she takes them by the hand, and with the roar of a lioness, she says, "I will not give up on you." Diane Latiker is the mother of 8, grandmother of 13, and the pride keeper of Kids Off the Block. She turns lives around, and I know that's hard to do. She offers gang members, troubled kids, and good ones too, a safe place to go. They have it in her living room and the community center next door she bought for them, where they can go and be safe, study, and make music. For every one of those 1,500 kids, today was a good day.
What's Roseland like? A war zone. Baghdad. I don't understand what makes you all think there's no hope out there beyond the gun. That worries me. Y'all got 4 occupations. Basketball, football, singing and rapping, and drug dealing. My name is Diane Latiker. I am a founding president of Kids Off the Block.
Just how the sun rises every day is like a guarantee you're gonna hear gunshots. Like this block here, this is basically one gang. And then my block, which is this block, it's another gang.
One of our members, he was shot here. He was shot at 30 times. And when that happened and I thought that he was gone, I said that was it. I was giving up. And he survived. He still has 5 bullets in him, though. So he came in and sat down in my living room, and then he said, "Miss Diane, if this door wasn't open, I don't know where I'd be. I'd probably be dead in jail." And right then, I changed my mind.
The memorial is a tribute to young people killed by violence. From 24 years down. But those stones over there don't say whether you're a man or not, do they? What makes you a man? They don't have a clue because they haven't had a chance to be a kid.
Before I met Ms. Diane, I was doing a lot of things.
I was feeling like killed or be killed at the time.
It's easy to pick up a gun than it is to pick up a book.
They grew up with their uncles and father selling drugs. And now guess what? They're in the same thing.
When you're around violence, around people that sell drugs, you get scared. You're like, "I want to go out, but I can't. Where can I go?"
She opened up her home, her living room, to kids she didn't even know, kids who were labeled as failures.
Old woman that lived in the shoe had so many kids, she didn't know what to do.
Well, one day I came in the house, and there's like 50 kids in the house.
All because I said a few words. All because I took 5 minutes.
We talked, and she hugged me, and I'm like, "Man, Ms. D, I really do want to change, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to get out these streets."
Yeah, I'm trying to change, yeah, I'm trying to change, but the streets keep calling on me, it's the same old thing.
Tito is a 26-year-old, needs help, in a gang, and wants to change his life.
Everybody want to be the dope king, or they want to ride in the Chevy, you know, the big wheels.
I got to eat, Miss Diane. Of course you do. I'm not knocking that. But, wow, imagine if you could eat and could sleep at night.
One thing I say about you, Tio, you a leader. You know, it's just so much negative stuff out here, you know. But if you was in your element to lead right, I believe you lead right. Straight up.
I wish I could build an army of young people and then see the power. If our young people knew how much power they had, it would be unstoppable.
Everything is okay.
Everything is okay.
Everything is all right.
Everything is all right.
Everything is okay.
Hey, hey.
please join me in honoring CNN hero Diane Ladder.
I go to bed at 3 and 4 in the morning. I get up at 6 or 7 in the morning. I'm always excited. I always know something's good going to happen today because some kid is going to say, thank you, Miss Diane. Some parent won't have to bury their child. All because of what we have done. I know some father would be proud because their kid changed their mind and decided to live a life of positivity. Please don't give up on our young people. Please care about them. Please love them. I needed it, and so did you. Thank you.
All right. You heard it right here on Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. For those of you that are just tuning in, we have Diane Ladaker and Aisha, her daughter, on the line right now. We want to just say thank you so much to both of you for sharing these special moments with us. And we want to know, do you guys have any shout outs that you'd like to give out at this time?
Ma, you want to go ahead and give a shout out? Hello?
Hello? Hi.
Hello.
Aisha.
Hello.
Hello. Aisha, would you? Aisha?
Hello.
Aisha?
Yes.
And would you like to do a shout out?
Shout out to my KLB family. Everyone who's listening, thank you guys for tuning in. And we're going to keep going. Mom.
All right.
Shout out to Jeff Joy, Bill Duke, and Mo Forte.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, we want to thank you both for being a guest on the show tonight right here on FacesOfSuccessRadio.com. And you guys both have a wonderful night. One more time, can you give your website information for the listeners?
www.kidsofftheblock.us. And thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to speak.
Yes, thank you.
All right. You're welcome, and you have a wonderful night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye now.
Here, where I grew up, it's rough. Right here, south side of Chicago, the youth fear for their life when